Hello, and thank you for listening to The Doctor Is In, where we discuss topics related to all things public health. We are excited to be back after a nearly two-year COVID break as the Howard County Health Department continues to resume its normal operations. This is our first time recording an episode virtually, and as we all adjust to living with COVID and the new technologies we have begun using during the past 2 years, today's episode will provide a COVID recap and an update for Howard County. And it is amazing to me to think that this has been almost 2 years. Time flies. The last year and a half have been a whirlwind since the first case of COVID-19 was detected in Howard County on March 15th, 2020. That date is indelible in my brain since that's my birthday and not necessarily what I want to remember my birthday for, but there you go. March 15th was our first case. Since that time, we have experienced a roller coaster of different things related to the pandemic. Some of us remember way back in March 2020, there were issues with cruise ships and travel international. And then the cases started to increase in the United States and in Maryland. And shortly thereafter in March, we had lockdowns. During the lockdowns, schools were closed for in-person learning, and a statewide lockdown of all non-essential services were initiated. We had lines outside of retail stores. There were capacity limits, social and physical distancing. And in the very early months of the pandemic, we knew very little about the way COVID-19 was transmitted and just how dangerous it was. During those early months, again, physical distancing, we were washing our hands. We were washing just about everything because the thought at that time, which certainly was reasonable, that perhaps a primary way it was transmitted was by contact. We have learned that aerosolization of this virus is now the primary mode of transmission. But Howard County was resilient during the lockdown, as difficult as it was. Our lockdown was an effort to remember, we used the term flatten the curve. We kept seeing the slope of cases going up, up, up. We had major cities around us, New York, Seattle, in crisis with their hospitalization, and we didn't want that happening here in Maryland and in Howard County. And again, the Howard County residents responded with resilience, flexibility, and hope. And we did, in fact, flatten the curve. As more data became available showing how COVID-19 virus was transmitted through the air or aerosolization, the CDC issued a mask recommendation when we were in public spaces. This was intended to protect the mask wearer and those around him or her by limiting the virus particles in the air spread by people who were sick. And at that time, we were just learning that you could have the virus and not have any symptoms. So wearing the mask was preventing someone who may not know they were actually carrying the virus from sharing it with someone else. And while many of us are tired of the mask recommendations and requirements, masks remain an important tool, even when vaccinated to this date, to help limit the spread of COVID-19. Fast forward to the end of the year 2020. In December of that year, vaccines became available. It was an exciting day for the entire country when the first doses of Pfizer and Moderna vaccines were ready to be administered in the United States. These were mRNA vaccines that some of us hadn't heard about. But in fact, since then, we've learned that these mRNA vaccines have been around for decades and were being studied and were able through science collaboration to be fast-tracked in a reliable, consistent, and scientific and safe manner. While a vaccine has not completely wiped out COVID-19, It has allowed us to return to many of the activities we missed during the past year and safely resume getting together in person with friends and family. It has also saved countless lives and kept those who still got sick out of the hospital. I certainly remember, and I'm sure none of us have forgotten, the thousands of Americans, thousands of Marylanders, and hundreds of Howard County residents who have lost their lives since 2020 to COVID-19. We have slowly been reopening businesses and resuming activities as more Howard County residents have gotten vaccinated. In Howard County, we continue to be a leader in the state in our vaccination rates, allowing the county to end most of the COVID restrictions we have lived with for the past year. While the transmission rate across Howard County remains in the CDC's substantial category, fully vaccinated individuals can safely partake in many of the same activities they were enjoying before the pandemic. We just must continue with some of the mitigation strategies like masking in public spaces, washing our hands, and potentially avoiding certain activities if family members or ourselves have certain medical conditions. In May, the Pfizer company authorized vaccine for our 12 to 15-year-olds. I know it was a relief for parents to ensure their kids were protected just like adults, and we all remain anxious for further authorization of vaccine for our 5 to 11-year-olds. Vaccination has helped to safely reopen our schools to in-person learning and ensure the safest, best possible environment for our children. Also recently, third shots and booster shots have become authorized and more will be authorized in the coming weeks. One of the most recent vaccine developments has been the need for third shots for persons who are immunocompromised and booster shots related to waning immunity seen in studies. As we always expected, data has begun to show that the protection offered by the vaccine can decrease over time. That is why the FDA and CDC have begun to authorize additional vaccine doses for specific populations to ensure that those at highest risk of severe illness and death are fully protected. I consider these vaccines a miracle in helping us return to activities we so sorely missed, allowing our vulnerable populations not to be so severely affected, requiring hospitalization, and significantly lowering the mortality related to COVID-19. So what's going on now? What is the status of COVID in Howard County? We're going to take a brief look at what we've been through in the past 19 months, and when we come back, I'm going to speak with a new health department medical director, Dr. Kelly Russo, about some current COVID topics of interest, including booster shots and vaccines for kids. See you soon.
During a pandemic, we all did what we had to do to get through.
That's Kara Lavalvo, Ida's bistro chef.
We stayed home for a little bit and collected unemployment for a little bit. My sister actually had her first child in February last year. I've made tough choices to try and make sure that I don't get sick, my niece doesn't get sick, my fiance doesn't get sick, so that we don't have to close down. If you ever want to get back to some semblance of a normal and be able to not wear your mask, the vaccination is going to get you to the point where everybody else feels comfortable.
To get your vaccine, contact the Howard County Health Department at 410-313-6284. Visit vaccine.howardcountymd.gov and follow us on Twitter at HocoHealth.
Keith O'Neill shares his experience with the vaccine study.
For people of color, there is a lot of vaccine hesitancy. I had never been part of a vaccine study. I did have some concerns early on about the side effects related to it. The vaccine study that we were in gave me a great amount of comfort. Are there risks associated with vaccines? Absolutely, but the good far outweighs the bad. It's not just the good for yourself, it's your family, it's the community, it's everyone who can't get the vaccine that we have to look out for also. I recommend going to get the vaccine. It's been a good experience for us.
Find out more from the Howard County Health Department at vaccine.howardcountymd.gov or by calling at 410-313-6284. Be sure to follow on Twitter at HOCO Health.
Hello, we're back. Thank you for taking part of your day to listen to The Doctor Is In. In our first episode back after nearly 2 year break, we're talking about COVID. Have we ever stopped talking about COVID in the past 2 years? Joining us today is Health Department Medical Director, Dr. Kelly Russo. Dr. Russo has served Maryland residents in the field of public health for the past 17 years and has worked at health departments all over Maryland. Just prior to joining the health department here in Howard County, she worked for a federally qualified health center in Prince George's County, where she was the director of international health and infectious diseases. Dr. Russo graduated from Johns Hopkins University with a Bachelor of Arts and an MPH degree and attended Pennsylvania State University School of Medicine. After graduation, she completed an internal medicine internship at Georgetown University, a preventive medicine residency at Johns Hopkins University, an internal medicine residency at Drexel University, and an infectious disease fellowship at the University of Pittsburgh. Dr. Russo likes learning and likes school. After finishing her fellowship, she moved to Maryland and started her work in public health. She lives in Anne Arundel County with her husband, two children, and adorable dog. Welcome, Dr. Russo.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here. I've heard so much about this famous podcast, so I'm excited to be on with you.
Well, awesome. The most important question, what's the name of the adorable dog?
Her name is Luna.
Luna, perfect. And what kind of dog is she?
She's a lab mix and mixed with probably five other breeds. So
she took the best of every breed, and I'm sure she's lovable.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's get back to COVID. That's why we're here. Can you tell us what's going on with booster shots and third shots? I have lots of people texting me, family members and friends, and find it a little bit confusing.
Well, yes, it's very confusing. It's even confusing for us in the public health world and providers everywhere. I think it's a little complicated because we have, you know, three different vaccines that we're talking about. They're all submitting data at different times, requesting FDA authorization at different times. So not all of this is sort of rolling out in one nice, neat package. One of the distinctions between the third dose and booster that is very important for people to understand, that third dose for people with weakened immune systems, they need that dose because they probably didn't respond very well to those first two doses. So they actually need a three-dose series. That's in contrast to booster doses, where someone reacted and got protection from either the two-dose series from Moderna and Pfizer or the one dose from Johnson & Johnson. But over time, their protection wanes. It decreases a little bit. They need that booster to then boost their immune system back up to the levels where they were after that initial series. So there are two different ways you have to think about it.
So if we need booster shots or are recommended to get booster shots, does that mean the vaccine isn't working?
No, not at all. You still have that protection from your initial series, but it's not quite at the level where we want it to be. It still works. It's still preventing you from getting severe disease, hospitalization, death. But we just need that extra boost to our immune system to get it back up to a higher level for even more protection.
So what I understand is that for persons who are immunocompromised, additional doses of the Moderna and Pfizer are available now and authorized. And for persons who may benefit from a booster shot, that's after 6 months of their first series of Pfizer, they can go out today to the pharmacy or to the health department and get their booster. But what's happening with the Moderna and J&J booster shots?
So the Moderna and J&J submitted their data to the FDA. The FDA advisory committee met last week and recommended boosters for both Moderna and Johnson & Johnson. Now what happens is the FDA actually has to provide that emergency use authorization. And then it goes to the CDC, their advisory committee, who then takes that authorization, and they're the ones that actually make the recommendations for vaccination. Once they make their recommendations to CDC, CDC comes out and gives their final recommendation. At that point, that's when the movement starts and we can go ahead and start giving those boosters. So, you know, they met last week. I would think over this week is when we start to see getting closer to that, actually putting that into motion and getting the vaccine in people's arms.
So that's really awesome. So that means by next week, or maybe the end of this week, that boosters will be available for the Pfizer, the Moderna, and J&J if people have been vaccinated a certain amount of time after their completion of their original series.
Yes, very, very exciting.
Awesome. So you talked about the emergency use authorization, using those words that we've all heard about. Tell us what's happening with the vaccine for our 5 to 11-year-olds, because I hear that may be coming soon too.
Yes. So Pfizer has actually submitted data to the FDA. The FDA will be meeting on October 26th to review the data as the advisory committee. And then hopefully it will move very quickly, and fingers crossed that once they give their recommendation, the FDA will authorize it and it will go to the CDC. Hopefully the first week in November, we will have that to be able to give to our youngest, the 5 to 11, which we're all sort of anxiously awaiting, because that will really have an effect on transmission in schools, the quarantining, and protecting the kids. We've actually seen a larger percentage of the people positive and getting sick to be increasing in that age group. So we need it yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. In Howard County, over the past several weeks or several months, we have seen the age of cases decrease. And the thought is predominantly because our younger people, many can't be vaccinated yet because they're not eligible and they're a prime target for COVID-19. And then some of our younger people are a little hesitant about getting vaccinated and unfortunately also remain a target. I'm a pediatrician. I don't know if the audience remembers that. I believe in vaccines. I trained at a certain period of time where unfortunately many children died of vaccine preventable illnesses for which we now have vaccines. So I'm a true believer. But I know that there are many parents who are concerned about the safety of this vaccine in children. So can you share with us your thoughts on the safety of this vaccine for children and the process that the FDA goes through to ensure safety?
Sure. So with the clinical trials, there are certain criteria for the number of people that you need to have in the trial to study, the duration of time that you study the trial participants. And they're constantly checking in with the FDA as the clinical trial goes along. And at one point, the FDA will say, okay, we have enough data, we can take a look at it. And they really scrutinize the data that's presented to them. And they're looking at, you know, safety. Is it safe? And the other part of it is, does it work? Is it effective? And the role of the FDA advisory committee is to really take apart those numbers that the company gives to them, delve into any issues of safety, really examine it. They can go back to the company and say, we want more information about this. we need to have, you know, 2 months after the vaccination. We want to study that time period. They're being very, very careful with this age group because they are children. They're not little adults. So they do need to be looked at in a slightly different way. And they really are demanding a lot more from the companies for this age group. So you can be assured that once this is authorized, there have been lots of people, very smart people, looking at all of this data to ensure the safety of it. So I plan on getting my daughter vaccinated, and I would encourage everyone to do so. We have a way to prevent this disease, hospitalization, and death, and why wouldn't you want to do it? So lots of people have been asking me about it, friends of mine, and I say, you know, listen, go to the CDC website, go to the FDA website, get information from a reliable source, but most importantly, talk to your child's doctor or provider, because they're the ones that you trust. They're not going to tell you to do something if they don't trust it. So those have been my recommendations to people.
You bring up a great point. We want everyone to get the best information they can to make the best choice based on their circumstances. And over the past 2 years, we have learned that there's a lot of disinformation out there. There's a lot of information out there. Like, we can spend 24/7 just reading information. And sometimes you don't know which information is accurate or not. So thank you for mentioning the credible sources, like going to the CDC website, talking to your medical provider, going to the Howard County Health Department website, where what you will see posted is the scientific factual information to provide you with the information needed to make the best decisions, not necessarily the information that you may get on social media websites or other folks who sort of heard things through the grapevine. One thing that I also want to bring up or mention or ask you about is about pregnant women. Should pregnant women get this vaccine?
Absolutely. The CDC has come out and recommended it for pregnant women. And this is because we have seen that pregnant women are at a higher risk of getting more severe disease, hospitalization. And there's no restriction on which trimester. The earlier, the better. It allows time for mom to make antibodies, which can then be passed on to the baby and can protect the baby once it's born. Because I think we're a little while off from getting babies vaccinated. So this is the best thing moms can do to protect their babies. And they can talk to their obstetrician, one of their prenatal visits, and get the okay from them as well. But yes, the CDC does recommend it for pregnant women.
Thanks. And pregnant women, again, encourage, as you said, talk to your obstetrician or your family doctor, whoever you're seeing, so that you have the best information for you and your baby. Once we're vaccinated, I'm hearing that some people can still get sick, particularly in light of the Delta variant. I didn't mention that earlier, but over the course of this roller coaster, we've heard of all different types of variants, and now we're really mostly dealing with the Delta variant, which is highly transmissible. What do you say to folks who are hearing that fully vaccinated people are getting infected and then question the efficacy of the vaccines?
So the vaccines, we want them sort of for two purposes. One is to hopefully interfere with transmission, make it less transmissible. And the other is to prevent disease. What this vaccine has shown is that you are much less likely to become symptomatic or with severe disease or hospitalization. Those are very important pieces to this. So the vaccine works against that. People still may get infected, but not transmit it as much, which is sort of the other part of why we want the vaccine. It's not perfect. It's not 100%. And we knew that from the beginning. But it's preventing the most important things, which are severe disease and hospitalization, and of course, death.
Yes, that is something that these vaccines really, I agree, are very good at, preventing anyone from being hospitalized and preventing death, which don't we all want to do that? But they're not 100%. And in fact, there's no vaccine that's 100%. And that's why it's so important for everyone to get vaccinated, because the more people that get vaccinated, the greater the herd immunity that makes it harder for this virus to transmit and mutate. So again, although the vaccine's not 100%, they're pretty darn remarkable. And really, we can get to almost 100% by everyone getting vaccinated who is eligible. And as Dr. Russo mentioned, our babies, our 0 to 5 group, I don't know when vaccine will be available for them, but we need to protect them because there is no vaccine coming, at least in the next couple of months for them. And we can do that by all getting vaccinated. And don't we want to protect our babies? So unfortunately, we're out of time. We've had a great discussion. I want to thank Dr. Russo for joining The Doctor Is In. If you have more questions about COVID, you can always visit our website at hchealth.org or follow us on social media at HOCO Health. Thank you for listening to The Doctor Is In. We hope you'll join us again next quarter for a new public health topic. Be well and stay safe.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.